Welcome to the Mayo Clinic Podcast. I'm Dana Sparks. You've probably heard of MRI, or magnetic resonance imaging, but have you ever heard of MRE? We're talking today with Dr. Jayant Tallwalkar about this new technology and its applications.
MRE stands for magnetic resonance elastography. This is a technique that was developed here at Mayo using conventional magnetic resonance imaging scanners, which are often available in clinical practice for the evaluation of patients for various diseases. The elastography part, again, is a specialized technique where the stiffness of a particular organ or tissue can be assessed by using variations in the MRI technique. So with respect to the liver, the way the technique is done is that a pad is placed along the abdomen or anterior wall of the patient when they're laying down on the MRI scanner. This pad is vibrated at a particular frequency. That frequency generates mechanical waves which pass through the liver. And using a specialized program, we can detect waves as they move through the liver using the MRI scanner as the way to do that. And the data that's collected from that sequence is then analyzed in a computer program to create what's known as an elastogram. And this is a profile which essentially tells us how stiff the liver is in certain regions of interest that we choose to study.
Why is it important to know how stiff it is?
From what we know about liver injury and disease, it appears that fibrosis or scar tissue in the liver is a major determinant of whether or not people are going to suffer from the complications of chronic liver disease. The stiffness can be measured using this technique and correlated with the degree of scar tissue or fibrosis that might be present. So in a normal liver, you generally don't have scar tissue because there's been no underlying reason to have that. In patients with chronic liver disease such as hepatitis C, the viral infection causes inflammation, which then leads to scar tissue formation. And in studies we've done to date, it looks like there is an increase in liver stiffness as you go through the various degrees of fibrosis all the way to cirrhosis. So there seems to be a relationship between what we're measuring using MRI and what we find on liver biopsy in terms of stage of fibrosis.
Could you give the definition, explain the difference between, well, you said from one to the next, so what's fibrosis and what's cirrhosis?
Fibrosis is graded in stages by the use of liver biopsy. So we generally obtain liver biopsy in patients to know what degree of fibrosis may be present from a known liver injury or cause of liver disease. Fibrosis is staged on a scale of 0 to 4. 0 would mean no fibrosis is present on the liver biopsy that we obtain. Stage 4 is the equivalent of cirrhosis. And stages 1, 2, and 3 could be considered mild, moderate, or severe forms of fibrosis, which develop in particular patterns that ultimately, if it's progressive, can lead to cirrhosis or stage 4.
And once you're at the stage 4 or the cirrhosis, there's no repair.
It's generally thought in humans that once you reach stage 4 cirrhosis, even if it's in its earliest stages where patients otherwise feel well and haven't had any of the major clinical complications of cirrhosis, yes, the degree of fibrosis at that point is relatively fixed, and treating the underlying cause of the liver disease may not necessarily reverse the cirrhosis.
So the MRE can help identify this stiffness before it gets to that place, and therefore there can be treatment.
That's correct. And that could be the potential immediate role in the clinic for this technology among patients that we see with chronic liver disease. If we can perform this test and tell a patient whether or not they have cirrhosis or a milder degree of fibrosis or perhaps no fibrosis, it can give us an idea of how we would proceed with regards to treatment. We're hoping that with further testing, we can help identify patients with intermediate stages of fibrosis, which would be the earliest indication for certain therapies and would help us avoid liver biopsy altogether in those patients, but also appropriately recognize those patients who should be treated.
When you talk about injury, liver injury or liver disease, it's really quite a broad, alcohol can have an effect on liver. You mentioned hepatitis C. What are some other, how many people are we talking about?
So among those two etiologies, there's also a disease known as non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, which is emerging actually as the most common form of chronic liver disease in the United States, or at least North America. And this coincides with the epidemics we see with obesity and diabetes. But between those three diagnoses, they account for the vast majority of causes of liver disease. It's estimated that up to 2,000 people per million in the United States have some form of chronic liver disease, if not leading to cirrhosis. And in the United States, hepatitis C, alcohol, and fatty liver are the three most common causes. Worldwide, there's about 175 million people with hepatitis C. And in the United States alone, it's estimated that 20% of adults have some degree of non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. So the trends would suggest that chronic liver disease from these etiologies is continuing to increase over time.
Therefore, the need to determine early on how serious the disease is or how far it's progressed.
That's right. We have blood tests that can tell us whether a patient has hepatitis C. Through history and other laboratory tests, we can also identify if a patient has liver injury from either alcohol or non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. But the tests that we routinely use in practice to diagnose the condition are not effective in telling us whether there's fibrosis or not. So the only way we can identify fibrosis with some reliability today is with liver biopsy. The problem with liver biopsy is that it's an invasive procedure that a number of patients don't care to go through, even though they know we need information about scar tissue or fibrosis, and this is the only way to get it. In addition, it's a costly procedure, and there are inherent risks, pain and bleeding being the two more common ones. If you were to use liver biopsies, the only way to know whether fibrosis exists in a population, you would have to biopsy many people. And the practicality of that is not real apparent. It's just not a test that many people want to have. Practically speaking, if you were to biopsy many people, because of the risks of complications, you would actually start to incur more risks, such as bleeding and pain that were serious, and probably not find as many patients with advanced fibrosis that you could help treat. So the risk-benefit ratio for that technique in a population is not very high. That's why there's such an effort to develop non-invasive techniques that are as accurate as biopsy, because we could apply those to more people. One potential immediate role for MRE in clinical practice is to help with decision making in terms of who to send for a liver biopsy. So in patients who have a history of either a known liver disease such as hepatitis C or a history of elevated serum liver tests that have been high for a while but without explanation, this test can help decide whether or not we should send patients for liver biopsy to exclude the presence of advanced fibrosis. Currently, the decision making is based on a number of factors, and it's not always systematic, and it can vary from provider to provider. If we perform this test in patients that are at risk for fibrosis and find that their liver stiffness is normal, we have a way to now triage patients appropriately for an invasive procedure such as biopsy, and keep low-risk patients away from that procedure and potentially avoid any unnecessary harm that might come from a biopsy, which is not going to yield information that they have advanced disease. So its role, at least based on the way it's performing to date, is to help sort that out and perhaps get more of the right people biopsied and to avoid biopsying those people who aren't going to necessarily be at risk for severe disease.
Thanks for joining us. For more information on the various podcasts available from Mayo Clinic, go to mayoclinic.org/podcasts.